Rowan Barrett is going to call in just a couple of minutes, and he'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on the play of his son. This is an exciting time. I had the opportunity, Dave, to interview both Rowan and RJ in studio the day that they came up to TSN back in early spring when they announced that they were going to commit to Duke on SportsCenter. And, man, you just got a sense of the presence of this young man.
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny, telling a tale out of school. The interview ends, we go to commercial, and RJ says, "I've heard your voice before." And I go, "Oh, okay, cool, like whatever." He says, "Yeah, sometimes Dad, when we're driving, Dad forces me to listen to sports talk radio. He won't let me put on my music." Like, okay. That's where my career has gone to now. That's how the kids look at what we do.
That's right.
Dad's making us
listen to this thing called the radio.
Listen to sports talk radio. How much fun is that? Okay. And I'm going to read the entire title, but I'm going to ask him, like I said I would. Rowan Barrett is on the phone line. He is Canada Basketball's Assistant General Manager and Executive Vice President of the Senior Men's Team. Rowan, do you want to be known by that first, or should we just take to calling you RJ's dad at this point?
You know what? It's almost generational now. You know, the younger they are, I am RJ's dad. You know, and the older they are, I'm actually an Olympian who represented his country from 1991 to 2008. So I'm good either way. I don't think my ego's too big. You know, obviously I love my kids and both my sons. And I'm happy. I'm happy that they're getting that kind of recognition.
Rowan, RJ's opportunity this week is extremely unique. These are not trips that NCAA schools can take on an annual basis. And so the timing lines up quite nicely. A little preseason action against Ryerson, against the University of Toronto, and then up to Montreal to take on McGill. And as we know, RJ's a Mississauga kid. How cool has this been for him, for you, for your family, the fact that he effectively is kicking off his college basketball career playing for one of the great programs in America in his hometown?
Wow, I think it's great. Obviously, you know, everyone from his friends, you know, our family, the church, you know, all of his coaches, you know, the coaches that started coaching him at 8 years old. I mean, everybody's there. So kind of anywhere he looks in the crowd, he sees someone he knows. And so I think that familiarity, that support is great, especially as you're kind of, you know, you have your first games for this thing that you've been dreaming about for so many years. I think from his perspective, it's been great, and it's been a very welcoming environment for a young player with a lot of pressure on him, a whole country watching, a whole world watching, as well as all the NBA teams and all the ACC teams and everybody he's going to face. And then from a family perspective, I mean, what a great moment, right? I mean, my wife and my other son and, you know, all the friends and family and, you know, all our church brothers and sisters. I mean, everybody's here going through this with us at the same time. So I would agree. Very, very unique. I think it's great for RJ. And hopefully I think it's also great for our country. You know, at this time of the year, you know, when the NBA out, the NCAA out, our national teams are not playing at this moment, and basketball is still relevant in our city and in our country here. So I think that this is tremendous for the game as well.
Well, Rowan, obviously, you know, you talked about how you were a guy who represented this country multiple years. And, of course, you were one of those guys that was on that wonderful team. The last time we had a men's team qualify for the Olympics back in 2000 in Sydney. So I wanted to get your take. Obviously, outside of this game, tonight in the game that Duke will play in Montreal, one of the next big focuses for people that love the game in Canada is going to be the resumption of World Cup qualifying. Starts next month in Laval, Quebec. You know, how are you feeling about Canada's chances right now in this World Cup qualifying, which is so crucial, of course, to getting back to the Olympics if Canada intends to do that? We got six games coming up September through February. Sketch out what you're hoping for.
Well, I think we are we're feeling confident. I mean, we finished the first round of qualifications in first place in our pool, And, you know, we had to juggle everything. We had to juggle players. We changed players in every single window. You know, we changed coaches as well. You know, we had to do a number of different things, a lot of moving parts, and somehow was still able to somehow manage to come out one in our group. So I think that that was great. And I think that this year, I expect to see, again, change with our players through the windows, and whether it's injury or players have contracts or their teams are kind of looking at them, you know, a little bit leery about them leaving to come and play for Canada. You know, we have to manage all of those things. But, you know, hopefully we still will be putting a strong team on the floor with the depth in our pool. And our expectation is that we will qualify you know, for the World Cup and get this thing going. I think Steve shared it many years ago. I don't think many people wanted to hear it, but he shared it many years ago. He said, we're going to push for 2016. Obviously, we're working to try to get into the Olympics, he said, but it might take until 2020 because our athletes are so young. And they need that time to develop. And so, you know, we believe this is our time. And so our expectation is that we are going to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a juggling act is that going to be, Rowan? Because, you know, we've seen the U.S., they've obviously got Jeff Van Gundy coaching a team made up of G League players, essentially. They're not asking the NBA guys to be involved in the qualifying. And you've got games in September, two games in September. You got a game in November, you got a game in December, and you got two games in February. What's going to be involved in on your end, sort of wrangling players to get them available?
Oh, you'd love to see a window into my life. my phone, my battery's always dying because I'm talking to, you know, every, you know, single, you know, the GMs in the NBA, the teams, speaking to the NBA itself, speaking to the agents, you know, here and abroad, and, you know, negotiating with them to get the players in. And I think you made a very good point in that the U.S., though they have maybe 200 plus players, 300 players to choose from, they're not asking their players to play. We are. We are asking our players to play all through the quad for us, right?
Right.
And asking them to be committed. And if one or two don't show up, then there's a question about our commitment, right? And it's like, well, look at the USA. They've got all their NBA players. They don't, you know, they don't have them all coming. They have a different strategy, and they believe with the strength of their pool, hopefully they should be able to get through. But, you know, even the U.S. lost one game, you know, in the last round, just like we did, right? And so everybody's kind of managing it differently and managing it the way that they can. And for us, we have to deal with, you know, players getting married, having babies. You know, they are grown men, right, with lives, injuries. You know, we're dealing with people just signing their big contract that's going to change the lives of, you know, them and their family, guys overseas as well as guys that are in the NBA. So there's quite a few things to manage. We do believe we have a hold on it. We've been going through this for a number of years, and so far, so good. And so we're pushing towards September to work to try to do much of the same, and you know, hopefully we'll have the results that we're looking for.
With Rowan Barrett, Canada Basketball Assistant GM, the Executive Vice President of the Senior Men's Program. And Rowan, I can't imagine you would join us on the radio, talk about this, and not anticipate a question about Andrew Wiggins. And I'm wondering if you could, to the extent that you can, explain the nature of the relationship between player and Canada Basketball at this point. Because I'm sure you understand that basketball fans in this country very much want to see Andrew Wiggins play for the national team, but we also totally understand it's up to him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you answered the question. I mean, I think it's up to him. Our nation has been very supportive of Andrew. You know, Andrew's been playing on our team since he was 15 years old. We supported his development. We did pretty much everything that we could do, I think, for him. You know, he is now in the NBA, and he's playing, and he's doing that. He's working to try to get his career, you know, going. We've created the environment. We've brought good coaching. We're right in the thick of it, you know, to get to the World Cup. And I do know Andrew wants to play in the World Cup. I know he wants to play in the Olympics. But, you know, we first have to get there. Right, we have to be able to get there, and so my focus right now is less on Andrew Wiggins or any player that you know. My focus is only on players right now that they're looking to play for us right now in September. This is my, you know, big focus. Obviously, I always have in the back of my mind all of our players and our roster moving into a World Cup and potentially Olympics. But my focus right now is on the players that are suiting up for Canada this summer.
And nobody doubts the quality of player Andrew Wiggins is. But is there any hesitation toward welcoming somebody who said no to the qualifiers, but potentially is then willing to say yes to the World Cup? Do you want to dance with the folks who got you there? Or would you be open-minded to welcoming Andrew at that time if he said, hey, I want in?
I mean, I think ultimately the players, you know, also have to, you know, have a voice in this, right? It's their program, right? We are the custodians, but really it is the players' program. We're only going to go as far as our players want to take us, right? We're going to have good coaches. We're going to be strong administratively. We're going to drive it from the leadership side. But, you know, ultimately the players are going to be the ones on the floor to get it done. So I think, you know, that's something as well that the players would have to weigh in on. I think we're way too far away right now to discuss something like that. You know, well, maybe when we get to next summer and we're on our way, you know, to the World Cup, we can talk about that. Having gone through a whole new season, seeing where players are, who's injured, who's healthy, who's ready to go. There's too many factors, I think, to maybe answer that question 100% correctly at this moment.
So, Rowan, I'm interested in your take on the way college basketball has changed in the years since you've played at St. John's. Of course, I'm one of those old guys who remembers you as a high school player here in Toronto and how great you were. But can you compare your first few moments at St. John's to RJ's first few moments here with this incredible Duke program?
Well, I think no matter who you are, the first thing is you're going to be nervous, right? You're laying hold of the dream that you've held and coveted for years, and now it's here. So I'm certain there was nervousness there with him. I mean, I think as the game went on, it looked like he settled down. And I don't even know if I say nervous or excited, you know. Yeah. But you know, all the anticipation, everything. I want to do well. I want to win. You know, I want everybody to be happy too. Like, and I think that there's all those emotions there, and I think maybe even more for him than it would be for me. I was playing so far away from home. I think it might have even been a little bit more heightened, for RJ. And though I was coming out of Canada as the number one player back then, you know, we didn't have social media. You know, we didn't have all of my steps being, you know, followed. I wasn't the number one player in the world, you know, coming in.
And exactly.
So, you know, definitely much more heightened, I think, for him even than for me.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, you obviously played for a great coach down at St. John's and Louis Carnesecca. I mean, what have you noticed about the way RJ's interacted with Coach K? Because I know you've been around this tour a little bit, having been one of the organizers of it. You know, what have you noticed about their interaction that's caught your eye?
Well, just in terms of organizing guys, obviously Duke does their own thing. You know, they're going to ask me about, you know, what do I think about maybe doing it in the summer, and you know, will they be able to get people out to the stadium, and you know, things like that, and you know, where are the stadiums and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely don't organize trips for them.
I know. Coach K had mentioned you'd helped out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I answered a few questions for him as much as I could. But in terms of their relationship, I think Coach K, and I think everybody can see that, he just has a tremendous way of drawing you in, you know, really drawing you in and making you feel a part of his family. He's very, very loving. He cares about the athletes. The athletes do feel that it's more than just basketball with him, mm-hmm. and that he wants them to be successful. Just as much as they want to be successful, he wants to be successful. I think it's really easy to love someone and trust someone that tells you, I need you to be the best version of yourself when you're here, right? And then from that, I'm going to coach you. You know, from there, I'm going to coach you up. I'm going to help to make you better, but I need to see what your limits are, so I need you to play your best basketball, right? I mean, it's going to be easy to trust someone like that. And then I think after that, like, he's humorous. You know, he's very, very down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you're standing there thinking, wow, is this Coach K? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is Coach K. You know, he's just a regular guy. You know, but obviously with tremendous amount of wisdom, And I can share as a parent, I've always been very focused on the men that stand in front of my son, that are going to teach him and impart things to him. And the character of those men were always very, very important to me. And I don't know that you can find better than Coach K.
Well, Ron, I remember talking to you and RJ on the day that you were up at TSN. I was relaying this to Dave Festchuk before you came on, and we went to commercial, and RJ said to me, "I recognize your voice." And I said, "Oh, cool." And he said, "That's because Dad makes me listen to sports talk radio when we're in the car." At what point is he going to be able to play his music in your car? Have you got to that point?
You know what? Daddy's still going to make the decisions when he's in my car, right? But I'm pretty sure that he's going to have his own car pretty soon and be making his own choices.
There you go. It's an exciting time for you and your family. Thanks so much for this, and we'll certainly be in touch.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Rowan Barrett is the Assistant General Manager of Canada Basketball, the Executive Vice President of the Senior Men's Program, and as we've been joking all afternoon, although it is very truthful, RJ's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Watching a good portion of that game against Ryerson the other night. And it's one thing when RJ's in street clothes like he was when he was up here at TSN a number of months ago. He stands up and you can see he's a tall kid. But when you see him in his basketball garb, out there with fellow Duke teammates, I've always described LeBron James as kind of that prototypical, if you cut an athlete out of clay, that's what you'd hope you end up with. RJ's 18 years old. He's not there yet, but you can see, this guy is a prototypical athlete. He has a presence about him on the basketball court, and it's all relative to his peers. I wouldn't stick him on an NBA court right now and call him the best player in the league. That's not where I'm going with this. But relative to his peers, there is a presence about him, and I'm sure that's got a lot of, there's a lot of factors that go into that, not the least of which is that he's been talking to his dad for 18 years.
Yeah, and his godfather happens to be none other than the greatest basketball player we've ever produced from this country, little guy named Steve Nash. That doesn't hurt either. You talk, Rowan Barrett, the thing that stuck with me there was that last thing you said about, as a parent, I'm cognizant of the men I put in front of my boy, the men that impart the wisdom to my son. I love that, and Rowan's a serious dude. If you've ever gotten to know him, and he means that stuff. He takes that stuff seriously, and raising his sons, he's got two, has been a huge part of his life, as it is for every dad, hopefully. And he's done a wonderful job with RJ. You're right. He's got a presence. He's got a certain kind of old head for a young kid. You're right. And I think everybody that's coached him, the coaches I've talked to that have coached him up the chain, I'll say he's way more mature than you'd ever imagine for a kid who's, 18 years old right now.